Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and this is my podcast where I like to talk about the dictionary and just have fun. I got a very random message from somebody who said that they would like to interview me about backwards talking. And if you don't know, I have made a few how to talk backwards videos on my YouTube page. I think the link to the playlist is in the show notes. So if you are like, what is backwards talking and what does that mean and why would I be interested and all those things, go check out my videos. I have also made a few, many, many years ago, a few very short, silly, short videos with my friends about that all have backwards talking and backwards movement and stuff. And so, yeah, it's just something, haven't talked about this in a while, just something that I've been fascinated by for years and like to sort of figure out what words are backwards phonetically. And then you flip it around, you record it, you flip it. And then it sounds sort of normal, but not really. Maybe I'll try and figure out one of these words in today's episode backwards, and then you can hear it. All right, let's talk about a whole bunch of more Euro words, starting with the first word, Euro-American. First form, capital E in Euro, and a hyphen, and then a capital A in American, Euro-American. American. You could also spell it just Euro-American. Euro-American, he's American, she's American, we're all American, they are American, Euro-American. That's the word. That one has no O and no hyphen and no capital A. So let's just stick with Euro-American. It is an adjective from 1941. Number one, this is the 2A and 2B definitions for the word Western. What Western part are we saying that America is Western compared to Europe? But Euro is in there, so is it like the Western part of Europe? Number two is the number three definition for the word Western. So three separate definitions of Western also mean Euro-American or Euro-American. Want to know what those say? Okay, sound effect. Bibbidi-bibbidi-bibbidi-boop. The next word is the second form of Euro-American, noun from 1949. Number one, a person of both European and American ancestry, which is kind of funny because there are a lot of American people who are of European ancestry. So what is American ancestry? What does that even mean? Unless you're Native American, Indigenous American, you don't have American ancestry. You have ancestry from some other part of the world, any part of the world. A lot of those are from Europe. But I guess, you know, we're not looking like so far back. We're just like, oh, your grandparents were born in America and on the one side, and then your grandparents on the other side were born in Europe somewhere. So you are European American. Euro-American. 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 Number two, is an American of European and especially white European descent. Oh yeah, when we think of Europe, European, we always think of white, but it's not all white. No, it's not. There's a whole bunch of different types of people, different colors, different cultures, and it's great. An American of European, so it's like, my family's from Europe, probably white Europe. And then I came over, that they came over to America, and then I descended from them eventually after some generations. So I'm Euro-American. I guess I would be Euro-American in that sense, because my ancestors came from Europe, most of them. Did all of them come from Europe? There's a whole half of my side is Jewish, and I don't know what exact part, you know, but it's like near Europe, next to Europe. It's like in the Middle East area, so I guess we can't, are we calling that Europe? I don't think so. I think that's, we're considering that part of Asia. I don't know, I should probably know these things. Next is Eurobond, capital E, Eurobond. Noun from 1966, a bond of a U.S. corporation that is sold outside the U.S. and that is denominated and paid for in dollars and yields interest in dollars. I never fully understood the bonds. I'm aware of them. You use them to buy and sell stuff. So this is a bond. A U.S. corporation has created this bond right here. And I guess, do you only sell it in other parts of the world outside of the U.S.? Is sold outside of the U.S. and that is denominated. So it's this bond is worth dollars. You buy it in dollars. It's worth dollars. The interest, that's a big part of bonds. The interest comes in dollars, but it's being sold outside of the U.S. where they don't use dollars. So what's the point of all this? I don't know. I guess if you want to deal with dollars and you're not in the U.S., you can get a euro bond. Next is euro cent, two words, noun from 1995. One, a monetary unit equal to 1/100th of a euro. Similar to dollars and maybe some other things, it's divided into hundreds. That's how the money breaks down. Some of them are like, you got 28 this thing, create this other thing. But in dollars and euros and probably some other monetary units, we break it down to 100 because it's a whole lot easier for your brain, at least my brain, to figure out the fractions and the portions. So yeah, euro cent is 1/100th of a euro. Two, a coin representing 1 euro cent is a euro cent. Eurocentric, adjective from 1963, capital E, Eurocentric, or just Eurocentric. Centered, this is the definition, centered on Europe or the Europeans, especially, reflecting a tendency to interpret the world in terms of European or Anglo-American values and experiences. Whew, Eurocentrism is a noun, and Eurocentrist is also a noun. I feel like, yeah, I talked about this recently. I don't remember where. There was something else that had the centra thing suffix behind it. But yeah, I mean, what's interesting is that they have Anglo-American values and experiences in addition to European. And I guess that maybe to an extent there's some similarities because we're both considered in like the Western part of the world, Western philosophies, Western ideologies, Western cultures. So there's some crossover for sure. But Eurocentric makes me not think of America. It makes me think of Europe specifically. So if you are, if you're feeling Eurocentric, if you study Eurocentrism, if you're a Eurocentrist, then you think that everything is focused around Europe. Europe is the center of the world, the Earth, which might be the center of the solar system in your world, although it is not factually. Blah, 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 blah. Eurocommunism. This is going to be interesting. Noun from 1976. The communism, especially of Western Europe communist parties, that was marked by a willingness to reach power through coalitions and by independence from Soviet leadership. Eurocommunist is a noun or an adjective. I couldn't tell you enough about communism because I don't know enough about communism. But this specifically, there was Western European communist parties marked by a willingness to reach power through coalitions. So you get power by creating a coalition, people coming together to do something. And this is the other thing that Eurocommunism is marked by. independence from Soviet leadership. I think a lot of the communism that we are aware of maybe was in Soviet, USSR, Russia, that part of the world. And Euro-communism was like, well, we like communism, but we don't want to be part of the Soviet leadership. We don't want to be under leadership of from the Soviets. So they were like, we got our own flavor of communism. It's peachy. There's been no etymology because I think most of it's pretty clear. Next is Eurocrat with a capital E, noun from 1961, a staff member of the Administrative Commission of the European Union, and Eurocracy, that is a noun. What are some other words that end in crat? Democrat, autocrat. There's probably some other ones. I feel like there's some big ones that I can't think of. But yeah, it's just somebody who works at a high level in the political world of a certain area. And so this one specifically is about the European Union. Next is Eurocurrency, noun from 1963. Eurocurrency. Yeah. This is monies of US and Japan held outside their countries of origin and used in the money markets of Europe. Euro currency. So examples of these monies would be from places outside of Europe, like US and Japan, held outside their countries of origin and used in the money markets of Europe. So this money is not the euro, but you can use it in the, what was the word that they used here, in the money markets. I don't know, those markets that are made up of money, you can use other currencies other than the euro. And so there it's not like you can use it probably at like stores, but maybe when you're doing like stocks and trading and those types of things, I guess maybe all the monies can come together. Or certain currencies can be used there, and those would be called euro currencies. Next is euro dollar, noun from 1960. Again, you know, not again. This is the first time I'm saying this. The 60 euro currency is 1963. These are from the 60s. So, you know, are they still being used? I would think so, but maybe not. You know, the euro has come into play into Europe, and so maybe these other currencies are like gone. Maybe they're not allowed to be used in the money markets. I don't know. Like euro dollar, huh? It's a US dollar held as euro currency, but it's from 1960. It's over 60 years old, this term. So, you know, can you use a US dollar in the money markets in Europe? Or once they decided to go with the euro, they were like, nope, that's it. I don't know. Bibbidi-bidi-bidi-boop. Next is Europa with a capital E, noun from the 14th century. This is a Phoenician princess carried off by Zeus in the form of a white bull. Okay. And by him mother? I think this might be a mistake. Should it be by his mother? And by his mother of Minos, Rhadamanthus, and Sarpedon. A Phoenician princess carried off by Zeus in the form of a white bull, and by him mother is what it says. Now, if it was his mother, would it be Zeus's mother? Zeus's mother also carried Europa away. And by him, something is not making sense. And by his mother of, oh, maybe Europa is the mother of Minos, Rhadamanthus, and Sarpedon. But there's, what, I don't understand what it's trying to say here. In the form of white bull, and by him mother. All right, let's put a link in the show notes for Europa, and maybe this will all become clear. A Phoenician princess. Yeah, it's from the Greek word Europi, so I guess Europe must be named after this Phoenician princess, which is pretty great. Next is European. When I was a kid, you know, we still think of this some days, you know, and just because of the way the words are, the way the sounds are. But when I was a kid, there was a joke. It was like, I don't even remember how it went, but the punchline was European. What are you when you are when you're in the toilet? European? I think I have botched the joke very well. I botched it so good, but it was something about European. We thought it was the funniest thing to be laughing about pee jokes. Okay, European, adjective from 1603, of, relating to, or characteristic of Europe or its people. Europeanness is a noun. If you feel very European, you have a lot of Europeanness. Oh, maybe this would be a good word to figure out backwards. European. It should be pretty easy. Let's see. European. Naipurui. European. European. Naipurui. European. I think that's probably pretty close. I hope it comes out well. Okay, next. Blah, 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 blah. European second form. Noun from 1623. So the previous one was an adjective. This one is a noun. One, a native or inhabitant of Europe. Two, a person of European descent. Even if you've been living in another place for a very long time, If your ancestors are from Europe, then you would be European. Next is European American. Two words with capitals. The first letters of each are capitalized. Noun from 1881, and the synonym is Euro American, which was the first word in this episode. Next is European bison, with a capital E. Noun from 1860. The synonym is wisent or wisent. I don't know, there's probably a few ways that you could say this word. It's a European bison. Looks like a bison. Lives in Europe, I guess. Oh, the Zuber. That's another name. Z-U-B-R. Zuber. Yep, don't know how to pronounce those words, but, a wisent. Compared to the American species, the wisent has shorter hair on the neck, head, and forequarters, but longer tail and horns. So that's how you can tell apart the European bison from the American bison. Biddly biddly boop boop boo. Next is European chafer. C-H-A-F-E-R. I assume that's how it's pronounced. Noun from 1947. An old world beetle established in parts of eastern North America where its larva is a destructive pest on the roots of turf grasses. So why is it called the European chafer if it's established in eastern North America? It must have come from Europe. The species name is Rhizotragus majalis. And then also we have Amphimelon majalis. Yeah, it's an old world beetle that must have come from Europe originally. The chafer. I don't remember the word chafer. Beep, 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 boop, boop, doop, boop. Next is European European corn borer. You want to say corn borer, you can't, but you got to get the N in there. Corn borer. Three words. Noun from 1920. an old world moth, widespread in Eastern and Central North America, where its larva is a major pest in the stems, crowns, and fruits of crop plants, and especially, you guessed it, corn. Again, it's from Europe, but it's in North America. What's with the name? Let's see, the species name is Ostrinia nubilalis? Yeah, Ostrinia nubilalis. It's an old world moth. Maybe I should post a picture of the European bison and the European chafer and also the European corn borer. But let's put those on social media at Dictionary Pod. Let's see. Anything else? Both of these things, the chafer and the corn borer, are pests. They're eating the stuff. You know, they got to eat too. They got to eat and survive and make money so they can help support their families. But yeah, they're destructive. They don't think they're destructive. They think they're just surviving. Beep, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop. Next is European flat. Two words, noun from 1981. A flat-shelled European oyster. I thought this was going to be just like an apartment. The species name is Ostrea edulis. So it's an oyster, and it must have a very flat shell because it's called European flat. The name doesn't explain what it is. The name doesn't explain what it is. Bibbidi-bidi-bidi-bidi-doo. Next is Europeanism. Europeanism. Noun from 1828. 1. Attachment or allegiance to the traditions, interest, or ideals of Europeans. I guess if you are a fan of Europeanism, then you might also be a fan of Eurocentrism, possibly. Or you're just, your allegiance is with Europe. You feel very strongly about Europe. You don't necessarily think that the world revolves around Europe, but it's very important to you. Number 2, the ideal or advocacy of the political and economic integration of Europe. The ideal or advocacy of the, so you're advocating for the political and economic integration of Europe. The, you want Europe to be integrated, maybe all the countries, you know, that's why there's the European Union. They're probably touting Europeanism. They want to integrate all the economies and the politics all together. And so you're, they think that that would be the ideal situation, and they're advocating for it. Europeanist, noun from 1948. I can play the piano. I'm a Europeanist. Europeanist, so you play the piano. I can play it only a little bit, so I'm a little bit of a pianist. But also, Europeanist is 1, a specialist in Europe, European culture, or history. Specialists. They know all the stuff about the culture and the history of Europe. There's a lot of stuff in there. And then number 2 is an advocate for Europeanism. Mm-hmm. That is how the words work. Europeanist wants Europeanism. And they also want to play a little piano. Beep, 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 boo, ba, doo, ba, doo. I think we are on our last word, which is Europeanize. Capital EUROPEANIZE. Europeanize. It's a transitive verb from 1844. To cause, to acquire, or conform to European characteristics. What is the word I'm thinking of? You will, the Borg, you will, no, I can't think of it. To cause, to acquire, or conform to European characteristics. So if you move to one of the European countries, they may appreciate it if you Europeanize yourself, so you fit in with the cultures and the language and stuff. I'm trying to think of a way to say this. Let's just say Europeanization, that is a noun, that is the act of Europeanize. So I think there's it's something complicated about going to a place, moving to a place, and then fitting in with the way that they do things, but also trying to keep who you are true. Learning the language is a big part. So if somebody comes from a non-English speaking country and they come to America or someplace that is English, it is very helpful for them to learn the language. You hear people like, well, why can't they learn the language? Well, okay, yes. Yes, I agree. It's very helpful to learn the language. But also, I think that you shouldn't completely get rid of your own culture, your own history. You should still keep that alive. But yes, if you are going to a country where your language isn't spoken, you probably need to learn that language and maybe do some other things to fit in better. But it's like, I have this cognitive dissonance of fitting in or not fitting in. How much should you fit in? Do you want to? You know, I think I've said enough. I think you get what I'm trying to say. It's a kind of a weird thing. And if you're in this situation, maybe call up the Google Voice number, email me something, tell me about, have you Americanized or Europeanized yourself? And there's migrants and immigrants and refugees all over the world, and they got to sort of figure out to what level do they want to eyes themselves, turn into whatever country it is that they're in. I know that I say funny things with my words, but there's a nugget of something in there. Find it. Hunt for it. Okay, let's pick a word of the episode. We had today Euro-American, Euro-American, Euro-bond, Euro-cent, Euro-centric, Euro-communism, Eurocrat, Euro-currency, Euro-dollar, Europa, European, European-American, European bison, European chafer, European corn borer, European flat, Europeanism, Europeanist, and Europeanize. I think I'm going to pick Europa because I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess that Europe was named after Europa, this, I assume, mythological princess. Let's just do a little checking. Yeah, in Greek mythology, the daughter either of Phoenix or of Agenor, king of Phoenicia. And that's Europa. And I'm going to sing. And you can't stop me. Europe was named after Europa. Europe was named after Europa. I don't know if that's actually true, but I'm going to assume it was. Is. Yeah, that's it. Oh, there's a whole genealogy page. All right, great. Go learn about Europa. Oh, and then there's a moon of Jupiter also called Europa. Let's now quickly talk about a movie that I watched, and I believe the next one on the list is Fire Walk With Me, Twin Peaks. Fire Walk With Me. Please don't watch this movie before watching the first two seasons of the show. You are going to have a very interesting backwards experience of Twin Peaks if you do. And you know what? It'll be yours. It'll be your own unique, strange experience. But I would recommend going the other way around. It's a damn fine movie. And it didn't get the respect that it deserved when it first came out, but I believe in the, especially in the Twin Peaks David Lynch world, in the community, it has definitely found its place. And it's a good one. It's especially if you're into Twin Peaks, is a real good movie. Weird stuff, so good. Okay, that's the end of the episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show on the podcast and on the YouTube. And also check out my backwards videos. Until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.